We were in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Vav, and we learned the very important halachas of Shvus Teshvus B'Mokem Mitzvah, and Seif Chav Aleph. There is one very important addition over here in the Mishneh Berurah, which asks the following shaila. So we learned that there is a general heter of Shvus Teshvus B'Mokem Mitzvah, meaning I'm allowed to ask a goy to do a malachat rabbonon for a mitzvah purpose. Okay, Shvus Teshvus B'Mokem Mitzvah. Okay, that's a heter that we find, and that applies in many areas of halacha, and that's what we discussed. Now, let me ask you the following shayla. What happens if I've got a shofar, but the shofar that I've got is not an ayil shofar? So it's a kosher shofar, but it's lechatchila. We learned that if you want to be mahada, you use a shofar which comes from an ayil. The question is as follows: am I allowed to ask a goy to get from to carry, to do a malach for me, to get, in order to be able to get hold of a aisle shofar, applying this heter of Shvus Teshvus B'Mokem Mitzvah, or we don't say Shvus Teshvus B'Mokem Mitzvah if I can fulfill the mitzvah, even if it's in a second best fashion. Am I allowed to use this heter of Shvus Teshvus B'Mokem Mitzvah if it's just for hiddu, yes or no? What do you think, Rabbi Isai?
It's a mitzvah still.
Heta should apply. Right. The truth is that I would really, really hear both sides of the argument. I could hear somebody telling me, and that's what I thought for a long time, the Shvus Teshvus B'Mokem Mitzvah is only if you actually need it for the mitzvah. You only allow, because the svara that we find by Shvus Teshvus B'Mokem Mitzvah, the way the poskim, the early poskim explain it, is that it's B'Mokem Mitzvah in a place of a mitzvah. Chachamim were not goyza, so you could have heard that it's only if the mitzvah doesn't, I can't fulfill the mitzvah otherwise. If I can fulfill it even in a bedieved way, the head of Shvus Teshvus doesn't, there's no place for it, you know, you can't be matir. There is one makor for this halacha. I mean, I think, in my opinion, the most powerful makor is this Mishneh Berurah in Tzivkot and Pei Vav. And the Mishneh Berurah says the following in Tzivkot and Pei Vav, it's the bottom of the first column. He says as follows: Ali denochim ut dahava. Says the Mishneh Berurah, lefi ze, accordingly, efsha, it seems, afile b'markim sheyesh lo shofar, in even a place that I have got a shofar, rak she'einu shel ayil, but it's not out of an ayil, d'muta lehovi, it is permitted to bring, ale denochi, through a goy, shofar shel ayil, shofar, which is from an ayil, the mitzvah b'ayil, because it's a better, more superior mitzvah, to blow from a shofar shel ayil. This over here is the most, I believe, the strongest source that we also say Shvus Teshvus B'Mokem Mitzvah, even if I can fulfill the mitzvah, but I can fulfill it in a better way, we still will say Shvus Teshvus B'Mokem Mitzvah. It's a very, very, very strong ma'amokem, which doesn't even, the halachas in the Hilchos Shabbos, where the Mishneh Berurah discusses Shvus Teshvus B'Mokem Mitzvah, this is not brought there at all. I mean, I don't think so. And over here, it's a very important ma'amokem. And I'll tell you where I feel that this shaila is nogea. Imagine the following shaila, in a place where there is no Eruv. Imagine somebody's got no grape juice on a regular Friday night. He forgot to buy grape juice. He got no grape juice, no wine in the house. Now, what's the halacha if you haven't got grape juice? You make with challah. Yeah, you can make kiddush with challah. It's not as good. Ideally, you should make with grape juice. Right? Ideally, you should make with grape juice. By the way, I remember seeing, fascinating, just as an absolute footnote, I remember seeing one of my great-grandfather's Sidurim. It's really fascinating, because when you look at Kiddush, I looked once, I paged through it, it's some 120 years old, and I looked, it's my great-grandfather's, and over there, by Kiddush, it's really interesting, by Kiddush, there are two texts on the same page. One is that when it comes to the brocha, it says, Ber Pri HaGofen, and right next to it, Kshe Ein Loi, when he hasn't got, it should say, Amotze Lechem Noretz. On the, what does that show? It just shows, what do you think? I mean, I'm just interpreting it.
Often.
Pardon?
It's happened quite often.
That, yeah, why do you think so?
Short of grapes.
People were poor. People were poor. I believe, it doesn't say that, but I believe that the reason why they would put it in the city like this is because of poverty, because people just didn't have the money for it. So that's my own understanding. I'm not sure, maybe not. He was in Hungary. Yeah, so I'm not sure. That's my understanding in this siddur, but I don't know. Could be I'm overinterpreting it. But imagine somebody has got no wine or no grape juice. The shaila that somebody that we discussed once was, you know, he can do it with challah. He's got challah, but he could also get grape juice from elsewhere. But that will include asking a goy. He can ask a goy. But that will be in a place where there's no eruv, where the carrying will for certainly include the melacha deraisa or melacha drabon rather, of carrying in a karmelis, in a rabbinical domain. But you'll have to ask him to do a melacha in order to get the grape juice. He could do it. The question is, do you need to do it? Because you can't you can do kiddush with challah. He's got challah in the house. But he wants to make kiddush with grape juice, and he can get all of grape juice through a goy. Should he do it? Yes or no? Interesting shaila. What do you think, Rabbi Isai? So I think, now having seen this Mishnah Berurah, I think that the reason will be that it's permitted based on this Mishnah Berurah over here, that we also apply the head of Shavuos to Shavuos for an added hiddur. We will also say the head of Shavuos to Shavuos Mokeh Mitzvah. And I think this is a very, very important chiddush. What do you think about that, Rabbi Isai? What do you think? You're not so convinced.
Directly,
yeah.
Hinting.
Correct. I'm pleased I'm mentioning this because I did see actually Punkt today. I happened to have seen Dine Weiss with regards to Shaila, and he actually says that Chatchila. Reb Shlomo Zalman says you don't really need to, but he says that there is mokum to do it through Remiza, but and it's not the Ikra Locha, but I'm just pointing out as an additional thing that there is room to say with Remiza as well. But it's not the main halacha. But yeah, yes, keep going. Yeah, that, based on that, I would say yes. Shavuos to Shavuos Mokeh Mitzvah generally doesn't need a remiza. Correct. Okay, so I just thought of adding this point in. Okay, are we okay with that? Seif Chov Beis. Im eino Yehudi hevi shofar mechutz l'tchum. Okay, a goy brought a shofar from outside the tchum. Okay, you're not allowed to carry outside the tchum, but the goy did carry a shofar from outside the tchum. Toikim bo, you're allowed to blow the shofar. The one then similarly as well. Im also en yud shofar b'yomtev. The goy produced a shofar on yomtev. Again, the halacha is mutlalit koya bo. You're allowed to blow the shofar which was created, as it were. Well, I don't think "create" is the right word. How would you say it? That was manufactured. Thank you. On yomtev, you're allowed to blow that. Now, I'm going to ask you a shaila now with regards to all the psulim that we discussed, all the psulim of shofar, right? Imagine the holes, and imagine the cracks, and imagine these cracks. Imagine all. Is there any difference between the first day Rosh Hashanah and the second day Rosh Hashanah? And my question is based on the fact that we do find on Sukkot countless differences between the first 2 days and the rest of the days. And maybe even between the first day and second day, there might be some differences as well. But that's my question is based on, we find on Sukkot certainly with regards to psulim differences. Do we find also any difference, or is there any reason to be more naked on the second day than on the first day? We didn't see anything yet, but I wonder, is there a difference on the first day of Shana to the second day of Shana?
So it's a Yom Richter and Machmir, both directions.
You'd say that whatever would be possible on the first day, would be possible on the second day. What do you think? Any reason to distinguish between first and second day? Would you be more lenient based on the fact that it's the Rabbanon? Well,
Now we do know what the calendar is. We know the first day is the...
You're saying that nowadays we do know second day is a base, and therefore you'd be more lenient on the second day with regards to some shilas. Yeah? What do you think? Any other opinions? Says the Mishnah Berurah, the bottom line of this page. One and a half lines from the bottom. Kosvu achronim, the call oisana shofaris. All these shofaris that we've discussed, shamanu that we discussed, shem psulim nitkoyabuem, the apostle to blow, hem psulim, the apostle bein beyoim, rishon bein beyoim sheini. There is no difference halachically between the first and the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Whatever is possible on the first is going to be possible on the second day. Okay, that's an important Mishnah Berurah over here. Okay, and finally, before we move on to Tovkuf Peizayin, just the last Seif of Yen, Seif Chof Gimel, Yochel Liten Besoichoy Mayim, O Yain Letzachzechoy. You're allowed to put water into the shofar, or wine, Letzachzechoy, to wash it. Do you sometimes do that? Does that help? Yeah, to put water. Yeah, water helps. Yeah. Yeah, good. Yeah, so it says that water or wine is fine. Avol meiraglaim, but meiraglaim urine. Af bechol also is on weekdays. Also mipnakol, because it's not respectful, right? To use meiraglaim is not respectful. So the truth is there is two chidushim in this shulchan aruch over here. Chidush number one is that you're allowed to actually wash it off on. You're allowed to wash it on Shabbos with water or with wine. That's the point number one. Point number two is you're not allowed to use meiraglaim. Now I'm going to be asking you a question. Why would it be also to wash off a shofar with water? Now with wine, I don't know if you do that. Would you ever occur to you to wash it with wine?
No.
Okay, but why would it be also to wash off a shofar? Imagine you're rinsing off. Is there any problem with rinsing off? And I'm not talking about hachana, preparing it for next day. I'm using it today, right? Any reason why I should be also to rinse off? Do you rinse off something on Shabbos? Do you rinse off glass on Shabbos?
No, well. You might think it might affect the sound of the shofar.
Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah, do you hear the question though? Why would I have thought that washing off the shofar is a problem? Does that really help? Does it really help to wash it off? Did that?
Well, sometimes gets a bit blocked through the...
And it helps? Whatever. Yeah, did you experience it helps? Yeah, you wash it?
I've never needed to, but I'm tucking kli, maybe.
Oh, beautiful. Baruch Hashem, look at this. Says Mishneh Berurah, if cotton pay test, yochaliten, av al gav de mesakne bekach, although I'm physically fixing it, kiven deloy minkere milze, dav de ovde de choyl, since it's not recognizable that it's a weekday type of activity, share medichin kelim b'yomtev, because you are allowed to wash off kelim on your vessels on yomtev, so therefore it's permitted. So the halvarina would have been that it's a tikkun mana. Yeah, very interesting. That's almost what Mishneh Berurah says. I would have thought that since I'm rinsing the shofar, I'm fixing it. I would have thought you're not allowed to do it. But lemaisa, you are allowed to do it because it's something that you wash off everything on vessels and cups and things and everything on Shabbos. So therefore, it's not recognizable you're doing a fixing activity, and therefore it's okay, it's permitted. And say, if cotton tzaddik, Mishneh Berurah mipnei covered. It's not respectful to use meiraglaim. Perish mipnei kvoidoi shel mokem. It's not respectful for the Ribbono shel Olam that you're using a shofar which was washed with meiraglaim. Shelo yiyu mitzvos bezuyos zolov. That the mitzvah shouldn't be bozu, shouldn't be despicable. There, thank you. Despicable. Velochein, and therefore, I feel him at Tekeh Moichel, even if the Baal Tekeh says, I don't mind, I don't care, as long as the sound is fine, nevertheless, Gam Kenos is also, he can't be Moichel, you can't be Moichel, the Ribbono Shel Olam's covered. If it's his own covered, his own honor, his own respect, he can be Moichel that. But it's the Ribbono Shel Olam's mitzvah, and you can't be Moichel, the Ribbono Shel Olam's mitzvah, and therefore, you can't be Moichel, the Ribbono Shel Olam's covered, and therefore, you can't use meiraglaim. Okay, yes, there was a question, yes? If the goy what? Because that's a very good shaila. Avom Doy wants to know what happens if a yid makes a shofar on Shabbos. Well, if the yid makes a shofar on Shabbos, the halacha would be much more severe, and you actually wouldn't be allowed to use it. Because then, if a person does a melacha on Shabbos on Yom Tov, there's a whole sugya of Maise Shabbos. Something which was done on Shabbos, Be'issa, somebody who does a melacha on Shabbos, Be'issa, there is a whole sugya in Masech Shabbos, and we learned that in Shin Yud Ches as well, that then you can't actually, there's an Issa Drabonon, according to most authorities, Midrabonon, you can't use the thing that was created on Shabbos. You can't use it. It's called Maise Shabbos. Yeah, and maybe even on Motze Shabbos to some extent. Okay. Simon Tovkuf Pei Zayin. Okay, now it's a different sugya. Now we're talking about the sound of the shofar. The sound. And I'm going to be discussing here shailas of the large shuls. Do you know the large shuls that the acoustic is just so powerful? The large, beautiful, magnificent shuls. That's the way shul should be. Beautiful and magnificent. You know, that's the way it should. So what happens there? Is there any, and the acoustic is very strong. And then you hear, is that a problem with regards to shofar? That's one question I want to discuss, Be'ez HaShem. I also want to discuss, do you know in Eretz Yisrael there's something called a miklat? A miklat is the, what are they called? Shelter, right? Every house needs, pardon?
Every
neighborhood of every large building needs to have a miklat, a shelter. Right, Rachman Litzlan, if there's, you know, people need to escape. By the way, it's very interesting, in Switzerland also there's a law that every building needs to have a, It's very interesting. But yeah, that's just... But in Eretz Yisrael, challenges miklat. And often those miklat, people, there's not spare space in Eretz Yisrael. So what happens in the Haredi neighborhoods, what happens is that these rooms are often used, yeah, they're for storage, or very often as well as a shul. Right? Some shuls are, you know, there's no enough shuls, not enough space. So sometimes they use their shuls. The question is that they're underground, they're at least slightly underground. So imagine you blow the shofar there. Is that a problem or not? Is that a problem? Is that a problem or not? As far as that is concerned, and we're going to be discussing those halachas here. Pardon? Okay. We'll get to that because it's slightly underground. That's the question, but you might be right. Somebody who blows the shofar into a boir, into a pit. Okay, somebody who blows the shofar into a pit. Or into a cave.
Is that saying he's standing in the boir?
We're going to be discussing that. It says the Shulchan Aruch, the Yidin was standing within, inside the pit. In the cave, Yotzu, they are Yotze. So the Yidin were inside the pit, they are Yotze. And the Yidin were standing outside. Now it depends. Im Kol Shofar Shamu, if they heard the sound of the Shofar, Yotzu, they fulfilled the mitzvah. Vim Kol Havore Shamu, and if they heard the Kol Havore, then Lo Yotzu, they were not Yotze. So that depends. The people who are standing outside, depends what they're hearing. If they are hearing purely the sound of the shofar, they are fine. But if you are hearing the koil havore, then it's a problem. So what is exactly the koil havore? Some people, I'm sure, will translate, I didn't check, but I'm sure that some people will translate havore into echo. But that's not very accurate. That's not exactly what it means over here. It's not exactly what it means. We're going to see some differences. But that's the halacha is, and that's what we're seeing over here. The mitzvah is, you need to hear the sound of the shofar clearly. You need to hear the sound of the shofar with absolute clarity. If you're hearing something else, or something else with the clear sound of shofar, you're not yotze. So if you're hearing something together with the sound of the shofar, you're not yotze the mitzvah. The sound of shofar needs to be glass clear. Otherwise, you're not yotze. So therefore, if you are standing outside and you're going to hear some sound together with the kol shofar, you're not yotze. Right, continues the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph. V'chen ha-toikeh l'seich choviz g'doyla. Imagine you're similarly also a person who blows into a barrel. You can yotze burn something similar to that. Im kol shofar shama. If he's hearing the coil of the sound of the shofar, is yotze. Vim kol havore yotze shama. And if he heard the kol havore, lo yotze, is not yotze. Okay, so that's the halacha of it. You need to make sure to hear the coil of the shofar. There is a very interesting Mishneh Berurah, and I heard a kasha about this Mishneh Berurah, and I wonder if you're bothered about this kasha. Mishneh Berurah Sif Katan Aleph. Besoy Chaboyer, who did the Mishneh Atzah? Actually, a quotation of the Mishneh says the Mishneh Berurah. The Kosva Rishonim. The Rishonim says, Shemishneh Zul Tzarech Nishno B'Shas Gzeirah. This Mishneh is written for the Shas Gzeirah, for times of that Yidden were persecuted. Shegozwa Omosh Leikam Yisrael is a mitzvah, that Yidden shouldn't fulfill the mitzvahs. V'nischabu b'boyrus v'maros l'kaim, and they hid in caves and pits to fulfill the mitzvah. Somebody asked a kasha over here, and he said, that's very strange. Mishneh Berurah doesn't normally explain scenarios. He says, okay, this is all happening because of the Yidden are persecuted and it's dangerous times, that's why Yidden are going to paves into pits and caves. Do you find it's like such a shver Mishneh Berurah? What do you think about that? We don't normally find Mishneh Berurah explaining scenarios. Like, if you think about, if you think about the shofar on top of a tree, well, it's not that common. How often did you find the shofar on top of a tree? It's not, you have to, yeah? They don't do. So over there, the Mishneh Berurah doesn't say what the background information, what the scenario is. But over here, the Mishneh Berurah is telling us, do you know why somebody's blowing the shofar into a cave? Do you know why Yid is blowing the shofar into a pit? It's because it's Shas Gzeira. That's very interesting. That's what somebody asked.
It sounds like he's saying that the whole Shulchan Aruch is B'di'eved. Like, we're only allowing it because of times of persecution. If it wasn't
how interesting that the whole sugya of that sounds interesting. Maybe. Very interesting suggestion. Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, I'm buying this one off. Yeah, very good. Yeah. How much are you charging? Yeah, very good. Very good. Okay, says the Mishneh Berurah and Sifkot and Beis, who had in Martev also a seller, V'chi agav anything similar. Mokem shu tachas hakark, any place that is under the kark, under the ground. Shekoil ha-tkia, mis'arim koil ha-vor. You're hearing two sounds. The sound of the tkia with the sound of the avore. Loim dechutz, the people who are standing outside. Okay, now I want to go to Sif Kotten Zayin. That's the crucial Mishnah Berurah over here. That's going to be discussing over here. That, from that Mishnah Berurah, we'll understand the shuls and the large shuls and any shul that may have some echo. Koswa Apolskim, Sif Kotten Zayin. The Sibas Dover said, Toloi Be'oimek HaBoir Ebrichut Mokum. It says there is no way to define that in absolute terms, says the Mishnah Berurah. It depends how deep it is, how deep is the pit, how far you're standing. Then the kol odom, and that's the crucial words over here. Every person yesh biyodo, it is in his hands. The hafkin to distinguish, the hafkin to recognize. Im kol shofar shama belchut. Are you only hearing the sound of the shofar? Or ma'ori bekol avore? You're also hearing some kol avore. So it's you need to know what you're hearing, and every person can hear, can define exactly what he's hearing. Are you hearing just the kol shofar? You're also hearing something else. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Ve'yesh oy ta'afila tekeir beveis haknesses." Somebody is blowing in shul as well. "Ve'yesh oym demachot k'tzas rochim mimenu." People are standing a little bit distance, a little bit outside. You know, when ladies are standing outside over here, do you know by when we are blowing the shofar here? Yes, some ladies are standing outside. Outside, is that a problem or not? So it says, "Ve'yesh oym demachot k'tzas rochim mimenu." Some people are standing outside the shul. Shaych b'zeh gam ken afchona lefi arichuk mibeis haknesses. It also depends how far they are. So it depends a little bit. Okay, we can leave that. But that's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying over here, that it depends over here how much are you hearing just the culture, if you're also hearing something else. Now let's discuss those scenarios. What do you think about the lady standing outside over here? Is that a problem or not? Yeah.
Probably not.
Probably not. Why do you think so?
Because the materials of the walls would absorb sound.
And if they're standing outside, any problems?
Outside in the street.
Yeah.
Brick building, there's not that much reverberation.
Yeah.
Probably all right.
Yeah. What do you think, Abu Sai? Probably all right. Are you okay with it?
Sounds good.
Sounds good? It sounds good. No, the damn. Yeah.
It's fine.
Because you're hearing the same thing. It's fine. I don't think there's any room to be machmir. There's not no room. And to be machmir. Yeah, that's that. What about the large shuls? I went once to an absolutely humongous shul. I mean, the shul United is pretty big, but if you go to the, you know, in Europe, sometimes you have the ancient shuls, which are really, really, I remember seeing a shul, there was two floors of Ezes Noshim. In Budapest is a shul that is two floors of Ezes Noshim, absolutely humongous. And absolutely, what do you think about that? What do you think is a problem there or not? It is a problem.
I would think so.
Yeah? So you're telling, what you're saying now is a very... I mean, you have to. You're realizing that you're saying that you can see a problem of blowing a shofar in a very large shul, because what you're going to hear? What are you going to hear exactly?
You hear the noise. You hear off the walls. You hear the sound hits the walls. And it's not necessarily the sound that you're hearing. You're hearing it mixed with the sound of other things that it's going through. You can hear it when the chazan sings as well. You don't just hear the chazan. You hear other things.
Yeah.
You know the chazan reverberating.
That's.
You could even say the same here.
Yeah, but here you do. But here you hear the shofar direct. It's such a big place.
It's not simultaneous.
When you listen, you can tell the difference. You're not just hearing the plain sound of a noise. You're hearing the noise, and you're hearing it continue afterwards. And
it's still vibrating, and it's taking a couple of. Yeah, what do you think? Why does it depend on how many people there are? More people say, okay, that's what you... What do you think? What do you think? If it's a large shul, a huge...
How can you judge? I don't know. What will happen in Betamikdash then?
Oh, you're right. In Alexandria, there was a huge shul. It said that they couldn't even hear the end. They had to raise flags to show where they're up to. Yeah.
That shul in Budapest, I reckon they had to build shuls. And it was carpeted. And especially if it was full up, then human flesh absorbs sound very, very well. And I reckon it was designed for good acoustics, because they weren't stupid, and you had to build shuls.
Sure.
I would say if the same size shul was made out of stone, you might have found, you know, in archaeological places, then it would tuck and reverberate. But I think that you would find it difficult to find a shul that would really be a problem, you know, Bismaneinu.
Right. Okay. Well, what do you think?
When you make
So therefore, what are you saying?
If I was speaking directly into the main atrium, then the sound of my first voice would be heard by everyone, and then a second later would be heard. If I just spoke to the wall, then anyone between me and the wall would hear me, and everyone else would hear the reflection.
That's very interesting.
So I think it depends how you blow.
That's very, very interesting. So we always blow by the beamer, really. Does that make it better or worse?
If he's blowing into the main atrium, I think it would be better.
Would be better. Uh-huh. You don't think, why is that? Right. But I want to understand that. A few of you mentioned about that they were built for good acoustics. So that's, it makes sense. But why does that make it better? I mean, you could have heard, because it could make it worse as well. Because it could be that it produces some sort of echo sound. No, that's not the idea? No? Excuse my amaratzes.
No. When they build shuls or offer these to have a good acoustics, they want to use materials that absorb sound as much as possible.
Ah, uh-huh. So it will, okay. Okay. Lemaisa, very interestingly, the poskim say that if it's a shul which was built in its one room, however large it is, it's perfectly okay. It's perfectly okay. It's not considered koil havor at all. It's considered the koil hashofer if it's within the same building. However, they do point out if there is, they're calling it tubes. I don't know exactly what it's referring to. I don't know what it means. The poskim say, the contemporary poskim say, if there is something which was built for acoustic, which made the sound more powerful, and if they call it like some sort of, I don't know what it is, some, do you know what it's referring to? So it says some pipes, some tubes or something which make the sound greater. Do you know what it's referring to? Do you know what it's referring to? Because I don't. That's what I just saw that in the postgame. If something is there to enhance the sound, then, which is positively there to enhance the sound, do you know what it's referring to? Then it would be a problem. Pardon? Some sort of pipes, it says. Yeah, some sort of, I don't exactly know what the, do you know what it is?
Yeah, it amplifies the sound.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah, I think so. Like on the sides or on the walls, and I think you sing into it and it comes out the other side.
Oh.
I think that's what it is.
Oh, very good. So if it's that kind of thing, that would be a problem. That's good. That would be considered koel havor. But if it's just a natural type of building, it would be okay. It would be okay. That's it. There's no room to be machmir. Okay. Pardon? That's right. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. Okay. So just for save base. Im ischel itkeh beboir. Okay, if he started to blow the shofar in the boir, the ola chutz leboir, and whilst he was blowing the shofar, he went out of the boir, out of the pit, the gomor, and he completed his tkiyas shofar. Yotze is yotze. So he started off in the pit and he walked out. Must be quite a lot. Must have good lungs. Yeah, he started off in the pit and he carried on and moved up to the. Okay, then he's yoitze. She called Masha Shama Ben Bifnim Ben Bechutz. A kol shofar, whatever he heard, was a kol shofar and it's fine. Says the Rama, v'chen oisam shu b'boir b'tchilas atkia. And also similarly, also the people who were in the pit b'tchilas, beginning of the tkia, and they went up with him. The Mishnah Berurah explains that's fine, and they're yoitze as well, and they're yoitze as well. The tkia shofar. Over here, there is a riddle. If everybody wants, anybody into riddles? Any like strange scenarios? You like it? Okay, there's a Mishnah Berurah here, which brings a very interesting shaila. How can it be that somebody is blowing the shofar, and he is not yoitza, but everybody else is yoitza? How can that be? So what? Why is he not yoitza? Very good. Well, on the spot. Very interesting. Says the Mishnah Berurah here, in the end of Sifkot and Yud, it's just two lines from, just before Sif Gimel. How to get three lines from the large lines. How to somebody who blows the shofar into a pit, and he blew the shofar, and he's completely outside. The ones who are in the pit, yotzu b'tkiyos, so they're yotzu b'tkiyos. V'u'atzma lo yotzu, and he himself is not yotzu. And in Cain, unless Borolo, it's clear for him, she called shofar, when he only heard the called shofar. See, if you ever want to catch somebody out, you ask, how can he be somebody? He blows the shofar, and he is not yotzu. And everybody else is yotzu. It's a very strange type of scenario, yeah? You can catch somebody. So the answer is, if he is outside, the shofar, he's outside, and he's blowing the shofar into the pit. There's people there. They are Yotze. But he might not be Yotze because what he's hearing is the Kol Havore. He's only hearing the Kol Havore, and therefore he might not be Yotze at all. As opposed to the people in the pit that are going to be Yotze. So that's going to be a... It's quite a rare thing. It's quite a rare thing that... Yeah, okay.